Good morning. I'm Donna Quinn, and for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. Making a major move and opening a business in a brand new town, especially in today's uncertain economic times, requires a particular kind of vision and perhaps a bravery many would not possess. Michael and Judy Pierce moved to Astoria recently and opened Astoria Hemp Works, an eco-fabric boutique and gallery, even as regional and national businesses continue to close. Why did they do this? And how does purchasing eco-fabric, or eco-fabric, make a difference in our world? Today, my guest is Michael Pierce of Astoria Hemp Works. Hi, Michael.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm very glad that you're here today.
Thanks.
We want to hear about your journey. First, let's talk about you. Let's talk a little bit about Michael Pierce and your life, who you are, before we talk about what possessed you to come here and create this bright spot in downtown Astoria.
Well, I'm one of the infamous Northwest boys, born in Tacoma, raised in Seattle, never left the Northwest.
All right. You like rain.
I love rain.
Okay.
We don't tan, we rust.
All right.
So, having worked as a broadcast professional in television and ending up in Eugene, Oregon, we started looking at what we could do to help our environment. Working in cotton, working in batiks, and working at the Saturday market.
So your wife makes batik?
She actually makes batik products. So she buys her batik from Bali in Indonesia and then cuts and sews and makes aprons, purses, clothing.
Okay. So, wait, you were in broadcasting, and that was pretty much your career.
It was. Got hurt on the job.
Hurt on the job.
Mm-hmm. Took some time to heal.
Okay.
And supported my wife in her business venture at Saturday Market.
Saturday Market, Eugene, is very well known.
It's one of the oldest.
And so she was selling the batik things, and then for the last 5 years you were in Eugene, and then what made you all decide, well, let's do a retail store?
Well, we didn't really decide to do a retail store. We decided to explore the Oregon coast. And towards that end, we bought a giant RV, put our house up for sale, bad timing, and hit the coast. And we started in Brookings, Oregon as park host for the Oregon State Parks, worked our way north, and ended up here.
All right, so you've explored. All right, so you didn't sell your house in Eugene. You still have it. You're renting it.
We are indeed.
Because you couldn't sell it. However, you had this motorhome, and then you decided, okay, we'll explore the Oregon coast. So all the way from the South Coast, all the way up to the North Coast, and you wound up here. Tell us about that adventure.
It was really an amazing thing because in that course of the 10 and a half months, we felt like we were giving back to the community with no expectations in return. So we met thousands of people at the state parks. We provided those hosting services that are so vital, and we found Astoria. It doesn't get any better.
Well, the Oregon coast is a spectacular and unusual place, and the North Coast, the Central Coast, and the South Coast are all different. What made you choose Astoria?
Remember that fire in December? We found that the community responded so well to the needs of the people who suffered those losses that I was taken by Astoria. And it just grabbed me and said, this is a place that can support a small business. So what better place?
So you were just up here exploring and saying, well, I wonder if Astoria is a place where we should open a business or something. And you saw the community spirit and you said, it's not a big box store. We don't have big box stores here, really. I mean, like in the downtown core of Astoria.
Right.
Small mom and pop businesses.
Right. And those small mom and pop businesses are such a vital part of community that when we saw that and we thought, okay, both my wife and I are over 50. We're not likely to be starting new careers. So we have to continue what we know. And if we can introduce eco fiber products into the market, and if you look around Astoria, you see that a lot of people here who are hip, shall we say.
Hip. Well, Astoria has been called historically hip, and the people, I think, are hip as well.
So we looked at what we could do, and combining my wife's sewing skills and my customer service skills, why not open a store? When we opened the store, we looked at spaces all over, and of course, that was right during the crisis of people having to move into new spaces from their loss at the fire. We found this little place on 14th and Exchange that's got great light, lots of room, needed a lot of work, but works for us.
Well, it's right across from the Astoria Co-op. And a lot of the people who shop at the Astoria Co-op would be people who would be very interested in the kinds of products that you sell as well. Though the general public, I think more and more people are saying, I want to buy things that are made in the United States. And so that's certainly a bonus for you as well. And you're in the spot, in the space that where the old Complete Photographer was.
That is correct.
Those people who lived here for many years and know.
We still have people come in and ask where they go. So they were there a long time.
When did you open the store?
We opened the store on the 11th of February.
All right. So you've been open a few months.
Mm-hmm.
And how's it going?
It's going very well. We get an amazing amount of support from Astorians. I track the sales, and I'd say 70 to 80% of our sales is locals.
Not tourists.
That's a huge number. Far, far more than I expected.
All right. What is the store? Astoria Hemp Works. What is it?
Well, it's not what most people think of when they think of hemp. We deal with industrial hemp products, meaning clothing, twine, and when you combine hemp into clothing, you're dealing with the oldest known textile, 10,000 years of hemp as clothing. So we have hemp, we have organic cotton, we have soy, we have bamboo, all blended together into some fabulous clothing, most of it made in the United States, a lot of it made right here in Oregon.
And I think you're right. When people, I'm wearing a jacket I love, which I just purchased at the store last week, and it's made of hemp and eucalyptus, and it's stylish, and it's comfortable, and it's made in the USA, and I feel very good about this purchase. And though when you do say to people, well, I'm wearing hemp or I'm using hemp products, let's talk about the difference between industrial hemp and the hemp some people refer to as marijuana or recreational or sweet hemp.
Well, when you look at industrial hemp and you look at the two plants growing, I say look at entertainment hemp and industrial hemp, they look identical. The difference is in what's in the compounds. And industrial hemp has a much longer fiber. It doesn't have any THC, which is what makes us high when we smoke it or eat it or otherwise consume it. So it's really, it's the same plant, but a different species. I like to compare it to the difference between men and women. Industrial hemp is the woman. It's useful. It's creative. It provides all kinds of good benefits to us. And entertainment hemp is kind of like a guy. It's just like, huh?
Okay. You are a liberated male, it sounds to me like.
I try to be.
Okay. So how did you know that you wanted to carry this particular kind of clothing? And where did you find it? I mean, where is hemp grown?
Hemp is grown in Romania, in Poland, in Canada. We're going to start seeing more hemp coming from New Zealand and Australia. There's a lot of hemp grown in China, Thailand, Vietnam. It's grown all over the world, and it's legal, actually, to grow it here in Oregon. It's legal to grow it in North Dakota and in Connecticut by state law.
Industrial hemp we're talking about, not recreational hemp.
Right,
okay.
Industrial hemp. Unfortunately, the federal government doesn't differentiate between the two. And we can thank Cotton and DuPont for that.
Really? Well, what do you mean by that?
Well, back in the days when hemp was initially banned, it was banned because of Cotton wanting to dominate the textile market and DuPont wanting to protect their nylon products. So it ended up with hemp simply being prohibited because of the evils of marijuana.
However, industrial hemp is a marvelous fabric. I mean, it's almost like a linen kind of a little bit like a linen feel.
Well, it can be woven into so many different things. It can be a jersey. It can be a linen. It can even be a silk if it's woven properly. So hemp is extremely durable. It's extremely versatile, and it creates not just fabrics, but also hemp oil. So you have, you can burn hemp oil. You can use it as lotion. You can use it as an additive to your diet. Hemp's pretty remarkable, and it goes back thousands and thousands of years.
Do you feel like more people are aware now of the fact that industrial hemp is a good thing and that maybe there are more farmers or people who would say, well, I'd like to grow this? And is there a chance that now the government, I mean, what's going to happen with this thing with DuPont? And
well, there's a lot of movement towards making hemp legal to grow, industrial hemp. We're trying to make sure that we differentiate between the legalization of marijuana and the legalization of growing industrial hemp. Two different animals. It's important to us to see more and more ecofiber out in the marketplace. It uses less water, It uses virtually no pesticides, and it actually returns nutrients to the soil. That's all things cotton can't do.
I have heard that cotton was actually really one of the worst fabrics, in a sense, because of the, if it's not organic, all the chemicals that are being used on cotton and the how labor intensive it is and all those kinds of things. So, and you're kind of confirming that. So really, hemp would be, when you say, and let's talk about this idea of what is eco-friendly or eco-friendly fabric.
Eco-friendly fabric is going to come from a source that's renewable, that has a low impact on the environment. When it comes to growing, you look at things that grow easily, and hemp grows very rapidly. When it's grown, it's easy to process. There's very little milling actually involved in having to turn it into a product relative to all of the processes that are used, for instance, with cotton. So you're looking at soy, hemp, bamboo, eucalyptus. All of those things can be used to create fabrics. They're also used to make plastics.
So really multi-use plants.
Yes.
Terry Wilson wants to know what a hemp, an industrial hemp plant looks like.
It looks just like a marijuana plant.
Only much, much bigger.
Tends to be bigger. Because they're grown in large groves or plantations, you'll see industrial hemp plants 10, 15 feet tall. They look virtually the same as a marijuana plant. They're both cannabis.
Okay, so, all right, so Terry, does that answer your question about how it looks? All right, so we wouldn't see any growing around here because it's just farmers have not yet said, gosh, I think I should plant a field of industrial hemp because, look, the market is really taking off. Consumers are wanting this.
I think you're going to see it eventually. We have to wait for the federal government to recognize the differences, and then we have to wait for the market to grow where we have the capability of milling the industrial hemp into textiles.
And where is that being done now, the milling?
Right now you're seeing it being done in Canada, you're seeing it being done in Eastern Europe, and you're seeing it being done in China and Southeast Asia. There will be some industrial hemp milled in the United States, but it's brought to us in a raw form and then converted into textiles.
I want us to also talk about some of the other things you have in the store, because obviously you named it HempWorks because that would be something that people would remember.
Yes.
And then you have a chance to educate people about the difference between the different kinds of hemp. But you also sell other things in the store. You also have other offerings.
We do. And one of the important things to us is to have art. Art is an integral part of our lives. My wife and I are both avid fans of the arts. And we live in a 40-foot motorhome. Doesn't leave much wall space for art. So I looked at the space we had in the store, and I said, my gosh, I've got almost 100 lineal feet of wall space. I've got room for art. And so we represent between 15 and 20 local artists, all of them from the Astoria region.
What a wonderful opportunity for them, because not only here's a retail store which is selling useful clothing products and your wife's boutique, and then you also have artists on the walls and people can buy art as well.
Absolutely.
And it decorates the store. It makes the store look wonderful, and you're giving an opportunity for these artists.
I really do look for the artist who doesn't have a lot of exposure. So I have glass artists. I have photographers. I have people who are working in glass mosaic, in India ink on cedar planks, you name it. It's very unique. And I wanted to make sure that I didn't have the typical coastal gallery look. I don't look for those people. I have sought out artists who are very different. And it's kind of like our products. They're different. It's a high quality, reasonably priced clothing. It's high quality, reasonably priced art.
And it's a unique, you've created a unique niche. There's really no one else doing this kind of thing, certainly in this area.
The joke we have is that we're the largest hemp store in Astoria.
Okay. All right. I would say that's true. The only, yes. I'm Donna Quinn, and I want to tell you all that you are listening to Talk of Our Towns. My guest today is Michael Pierce. Michael and Judy Pierce moved here recently from Eugene, and they opened Astoria Hemp Works, which is located at 14th and Exchange in downtown Astoria. And it's an do you say eco or echo fabric?
You can say it either way.
Yeah, I've heard it both ways too, of course. So eco fabric boutique and gallery. And Michael was just talking about the fact that he likes to display art. Local artists are also in the store. And I guess I want to know, too, about this idea that you just decided you would open the store during this time when people say, oh, everyone's closing stores. And didn't that scare you?
It does kind of scare you. But I also believe that it's important to start. If you're going to start at the bottom, you might as well start at the total bottom.
Okay.
And if the economy is on an upwards trend, as I believe it is in Astoria, what better time to start a store? So that was our kind of the final nail in the coffin of starting a business, was to see where the economy was in Astoria. Notice, this is the only place on the coast that we saw in 10 and a half months with ongoing construction.
Now that's an interesting point.
There's even traffic jams here.
Okay, traffic jams and construction. Okay, that's a sign that you're saying the economy here in Astoria is vibrant and doing better than a lot of other coastal communities.
I think so. I think with the Astoria Historic Downtown District Association, with the great Chamber of Commerce we have here, and with all of the effort being made on getting this community healthier, it's already healthy. It's getting better. And it was a great time for us.
And I know you're going to be getting involved with the Lower Columbia Tourism Committee also, which is great because you're going to, and that's, I think, another thing about this community. People do not, they don't just come here to take something from the community. They really want to give back.
It's inspiring. And I didn't really realize how inspiring it would be. I'm not normally a volunteer person. I don't usually step up and say, I'll do that. But I saw a need for it, and I got an invitation, and I couldn't refuse.
Let's talk about also the fact that you support the 3/50 project. For those people who aren't familiar with that, let's talk about that.
It's a great project. It tries to do the same thing that recycling does. It creates a mindset for people. When you go to a big box store, you're basically 38 cents of your dollar comes back to the community. When you go to a local merchant, 68 cents of your dollar comes back to the community. So 3/50 is a project that's designed to put in your mind the idea that for every time you go to the big box store, you make an effort to visit three local stores, locally owned, locally operated businesses. And between those three, spend $50. Huge numbers can result from that. The first year of the project, they were able to track something close to $66,000 in increased sales in a very small community on the East Coast. Last year, over $6 million was directly attributed to 3/50.
If people don't support the small mom-and-pop stores, then they will go away. And that's what gives a community its charm. It's the volunteers, all the community. I'm not saying that, you know, big box stores don't have a place in, you know, in certain people's lives. And I would love to see if a person could purchase things just from local stores for a long period of time, for a year or something. Like Barbara Kingsolver wrote the book Animal Vegetable Miracle, and she said, I'm going to live for a year growing the food that's, you know, eating food that's just grown in my area. So do you think that would be feasible, Michael?
I don't think it's feasible yet, but I think there's a mindset where we're starting to, as a community, avoid the idea of the big box store or use it less so that we're not reliant upon the major corporations. We're looking at, how can I help the little guy? Mm-hmm. How can I grow the community? And we have that communication now that occurs between people. When you come in to visit me in my store, I generally know you. That's the nicest thing about that 70 to 80% of my customer base. It's locals. It's people that come back. They say hello, good morning. They come in with pet dogs. I've got two big Labradors sit in the entry of the store all the time. They're always there for the petting. And that's why people are coming to the store, because we're friendly, we're local, we're recognizable.
People really need that. A good friend of mine is a psychologist, and I said, well, what is the major complaint that you see in your practice? And she said, the major thing she notices in her clientele, and this is, you know, men, women, and children, people feel disconnected from themselves and they feel disconnected from other people. And when you go into a faceless, nameless, large, huge, you know, entity, whether it's a giant building or a store, there isn't that human connection. That we're tribal people after all, and we need that. So what you're saying is that you get so much more when you go in to buy a product at a small store where you know someone there. You're not only, there's an exchange of, you know, goods and services and all that, but you're receiving something so much more, something which is actually good for the spirit, the soul.
Exactly. And that's, you know, I probably tend to talk too much in the store because I love to communicate with people. I love to spend time, learn about them. And that's probably might go back to that old broadcasting past of mine where I want to know about you. Oh, did you want to buy this also? Okay. Well, let's talk about you some more first.
Well, curiosity is a good thing, because how do we get to know people if we aren't curious and if we're not interested in asking questions and finding out things?
It's the answers.
And yeah, that's right. And you're an advocate, though, for the ethic of the store. I mean, your store has a particular kind of ethic. And you're saying we want to sell products that are good for the environment, that are good for human beings. We want to promote, have a place where artists can be. So really, you have, there's an educational component to your store.
There is. I had a whole group of little Girl Scouts come in, or actually they were brownies, I believe. And we spent far more time than the leaders had expected talking about the importance of locally produced products, eco-friendly fabrics and eco-friendly products. And so that's another component of the store, is that I like to promote the whole idea of awareness of the need to be not just aware of the ecology, but the society.
What are you finding now that you've actually moved here? Are there some other things that are surprising you about living in this area?
I don't know if there's any big surprises about living here. It's a nice blend of young and old. It's a nice blend of people who are, you know, there's some people who are kind of set in their ways, and there's some people who are very forward-thinking. And it's okay. Whichever way you are, it's okay here. There's no sense of judgment here. You don't have to conform. And because you're not conforming, you know, there might be a raised eyebrow, but not much more than that.
It's interesting you say that, because people have talked for a very long time about this authenticity that exists in this community, and whether it's the history, the ability, something gives it this kind of anchoring influence, and also this non-judgmental approach in a way. And someone mentioned that perhaps because this has always been an area where entrepreneurs have come, and the shifting waters and the shifting winds and all of that, that things don't stay fixed, really. I mean, that people are open to new ideas. There's this entrepreneurial spirit that flows through this area.
I think so. I think it doesn't take but a trip up to the top of Coxcomb Hill to see what makes Astoria so special. It's a very condensed area with great people and a spirit of independence. We're far enough away from Portland. We're far enough away from Seattle. We kind of have to be on our own.
And you've been welcomed by the other merchants in the community, and now you've gotten involved with the Downtown Association.
We have. It's wonderful to be able to communicate with the other merchants. Other stores come and visit us. We go visit them. It's a good place.
You're a little off the beaten path. Okay, let's say if people would say, oh, Commercial Street's where it is. That's where it's supposed to be. Although Lunar Boy just moved across from Astoria Coffee House and Bistro, and there's activity on little side streets now where there perhaps wasn't. So you're a little off the beaten track. How are you letting people know you're here? How are you marketing?
We put signs out. We have a website, and we have our Facebook presentations. Sometimes we'll just walk around downtown.
Just walk around downtown
and talk to people
and say hi.
Hey,
hi. We have Astoria Hemp Works. Have you? You know,
it can be that simple.
Okay.
I send my wife out on missions. Go hunt some customers.
All right. Okay, that works. And I think the fact that you're using social media, a lot of small businesses now are starting to do that. And you know, maybe your dogs need to have their own little, you know, blog or something like that.
Well, I've thought of giving them email, but they don't have any thumbs, so they can't reply.
That would be challenging. That's true. And do you don't have things for animals that are, you know, eco-friendly fabrics or anything?
We're looking into that.
Are you really?
We're looking into hemp leashes and collars and any other products we can find that would be pet-friendly. Right now, the store is so early in development that we're still trying to figure out which products are best for us to carry.
So you're expanding. So right now, this is the ground floor, essentially. I mean, this is you've only been open a few months. You've been welcomed by the community. You love it. Apparently, you and your wife enjoy doing it.
Absolutely.
And you want to expand so you can hire some employees.
We have 4 work positions available at the store, sewing, customer service, and cutting. And those positions are sitting empty right now as we grow the store. But eventually, yes, we'd love to have employees.
So you are the perfect definition of a small business that can provide some employment for people in a healthy environment.
Someday we'll actually have the ability to have people at the counter other than me.
Oh, okay. So your wife is there sometimes, although she's doing the boutique.
Yes.
The boutique in the back. Okay. Yeah. The boutique. Okay. Well, Michael, we only have a few more minutes. What else would you like the listening public to know about Astoria Hempworks, about you and your wife, about, you know, anything that you'd like to say?
This store is a representative of us. It's our personality. It's who we are. And we hope that people come into the store and they recognize that it's a friendly place, and it just represents us.
Well, you didn't open this store with some formula in mind. You didn't say, well, the latest statistics show X and X and X. No, you just did this on a gut feeling. You know, you traveled the coast. You decided this was the place to be. And you said, you know, we believe in these products. We wear these products. We would like to offer this to the Astoria. We think that there's a market here for people in Astoria. They support small businesses. They want to do things that are good for the environment. And so you did it on kind of gut instinct.
Proverbial leap of faith.
A leap of faith. Okay. The proverbial leap of faith. Well, I think that's admirable in today's world, because when a lot of people are shrinking in fear, we need to have people who also say, I have a vision, and they take that leap of faith and they move forward.
Thank you. Yeah, it is a big leap of faith. We're so delighted to be here. It makes me smile every day I go to the store. You look at all the other small businesses in town, I don't see many frowns, so pretty happy to be here.
Good, and I think that now everyone, all of those of you who are listening, you can relax, because Michael has just said, because we have traffic jams and construction going on, that things are really okay here in River City.
I think so.
And getting better. Michael, thank you so much. Astoria Hempworks is located at 14th and Exchange, and Michael will be happy to show you photographs. I bet you have photographs of industrial hemp plants growing.
I do. Or
so. Yes, so you can go in and you can learn about what an eco-fabric boutique is all about, and what these kind of materials are and how they help the environment. So thank you so much, Michael.
And thank you for having me.
Glad you're here. Yes. Terry Wilson, your question was answered. Now you can go in and you can see a photograph of the industrial hemp plant. Thank you, Terry Wilson, our engineer extraordinaire. And I want to thank local talented banjo instructor Michael Brunn for his original theme music for this program. Until next week, find a moment for yourself today. Take a deep breath. With gratitude for all the good things in your life, focus on those good things and expand them. And then give yourself a loving and compassionate hug, or a pat on the back, for being uniquely you, for doing the best you can, and for being here now, in this moment. The only moment there is now, 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 on the amazing planet we call Earth.
You've been listening to Talk of Our Towns.